Have you heard me gush yet about the environmentally friendly debit card, Aspiration? I am so excited to be sharing Aspiration with y'all because I think it is the easiest way to become a more conscious consumer beyond just your purchases, but making sure that your money is never invested in fossil fuel projects. Check out aspiration.com/eco for up to $200 on your new account. I'll have more details in the show notes below. Highly recommend checking it out, aspiration.com/eco.
Everything you do is making an impact in this world.
This is not an elitist issue. This is a quality of life issue.
How dare you?
And I feel like it's my responsibility as a human being.
So what? The world is at stake.
You're listening to Eco Chic, a podcast about climate, sustainability, and eco-conscious lifestyles.
What, like it's hard?
Hey y'all, welcome back to Eco Chic. My name is Laura Diaz. It's good to have you here today. I'm looking forward to today's episode because we are doing a bit of a climate change episode. We haven't done this in a minute, and I've been seeing a lot of discussions online about today's topic, and that's the topic of the average temperature of the Arctic. No, it's kind of niche, but if you are anywhere on climate Twitter, if you are anywhere on the sustainability space on social media, there has been some graphics going around of the average temperature of the Earth and just a really simple tweet that says the Arctic is warming or the average temperature of the Arctic is X today. And it's pretty alarmist. I think a lot of the climate community online is generally alarmist. I think we have to be because we're talking about a climate emergency. We're talking about the need for climate action and the sense of urgency with which we should combat this problem. But I also think that there needs to be a bigger discussion beyond these really eye-catching, crazy-to-look-at tweets with a photo of the Earth and average temperatures on it, because the vast majority of us are not meteorologists or climate scientists or know how to accurately read a map of warming of the Earth. So anyway, long story short, let's get into today's episode. Why is the Arctic warming so quickly? I also thought this would be a good topic because beyond the frequency with which I am seeing discussions online about Arctic warming, I'm also really excited to share last month's book club episode either tomorrow or the day after. And we read the book Migrations by Charlotte McConney, and we read with my friend Jessica Clifton of Impact for Good. I'm really excited because I loved the book, and it centers around a female main character who follows Arctic terns, which are a bird that, yes, they live in the Arctic, but they have the largest migratory pattern of any bird, from what I understand. They can go up and down the entire Earth twice in a year, which is pretty nuts. And the book was a bit of a climate fiction book. What are the terns going to do when there's no more fish to eat, when there's no more ice for them to land on, et cetera, et cetera. So a really timely episode in conjunction with that. I hope you read the book. If you didn't, I think you'll still enjoy the book club episode, and you can join book club anytime you want. Read the book at your leisure and then go back and listen to the episode. Next month, we are reading Conscious Closet by Elizabeth Klein, which is a bit of a cult favorite online with the sustainable fashion community, and we are reading with Moji Egun. I'm really excited because she is a zero waste expert. And when we talk about closet purging and conscious closets and garments and ethical fashion, etc., I think the zero waste conversation fits into it really, really nicely. So I think next month's book club pick is going to be one that we all really enjoy and hopefully learn something from. Last housekeeping announcement, we have an upcoming Chic Shots episode, a call-in episode that we're putting together for Pride Month. I'm excited to put this episode together, and I'm excited to invite any of y'all to join us on this episode because I'm loving the conversations around the LGBTQ+ community online with their interactions with environmentalism and what does it mean to be inclusive in nature? What does it mean to be inclusive in the environmental space? And I'm excited to just talk to some of y'all. If you have a story or experience that you would like to share with the audience, go ahead and send me an email or send me a DM on Instagram. I am at Eco Chic Podcast. Just let me know that you'd like to be included. I am looking for perhaps one or two more speakers. And then I'm excited to put the episode together and share it towards the end of the month for Pride Month. And here I will do my usual reminder that you can always get in touch with me on Instagram at EcoChicPodcast. All of my social links are down below, but Instagram is usually where I hang out. I'm also on Clubhouse and Facebook and Twitter and all of those places. And you can also find my email usually down below. And not usually, it's always down below. I copy and paste it every week. But you can always find ways to contact me if you are so inclined. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. You can follow it on Spotify. You can send it to a friend. You can post it on your Instagram story. I want to know what resonates with you. And I'm really looking forward to doing more planning for the podcast over the summertime and in the next few months, really rethinking the kind of content that we find valuable and exciting this time of year. And just as more and more climate conversations become mainstream, such as the one that we're having today, I want to make sure that we are all in a place to really critically consume content and alarmist headlines. And what does it mean to really accurately understand a headline? I think all of these things are really important. I think climate science should be accessible, and I really hope that I can be that resource to you. So with that, let's get into today's topic. Why is the Arctic warming so quickly? To set the scene a little bit, we are in early June of 2021. Right now, the average temperature in the Arctic is at or above freezing. In case we don't remember from science class, freezing is 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 degrees Celsius. For an area of icebergs and glaciers and these ultra cold weather animals and plants, 32 degrees is extremely warm. Really quickly, I think we should talk about the difference between the Arctic and Antarctica. The Arctic is the northernmost region of Earth. There are some trees and vegetation in addition to the glaciers and the mountains and the fjords you're imagining. This is where we have polar bears. Those sad photos of really skinny polar bears on these loose, lonely ice sheets, that's in the Arctic, the North Pole. That's where Santa lives. I'm just kidding. But this is the area that has an indigenous population, a native population. Antarctica does not have a native population. Antarctica is where you're going to find penguins. It's a lot more solid. It is also warming more rapidly than the rest of the planet, but still not as rapidly as the Arctic. The average temperature in the summer in the Arctic should be between 3 and 12 degrees Celsius, 37 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit, which again is super warm, and our new daily average of above freezing does fall within that normal average temperature range. The problem is that the winter temperatures are not as low as they typically should be as of recent years. So it is warm in the summertime, and nothing is properly refreezing in those winter months to account for any melting happening during the warmer months. You see what I'm saying? It's one thing leads to another, and here we are, we're constantly warming. Here's the real kicker. The Arctic is warming at almost 2 times the speed of the rest of the planet, largely because of what we call the albedo effect, or also polar amplification. Albedo is just a fancy word for reflectivity. Ice is more reflective. It has higher albedo and it absorbs less sunlight than land or the surface of the ocean. When ice melts, whatever is beneath it is typically darker areas of land or ocean, the Arctic Sea, and those areas do absorb sunlight and they contribute to the warming of the region. It's a really nasty cycle. We are not refreezing. Any ice that's there, just to recap, is bouncing back the sunlight. When it does melt, anything underneath the ice is absorbing sunlight. So it's a really nasty cycle. Like I said, it is two issues feeding into each other. A positive feedback loop, if anyone remembers that vocab word. This is also why it's really easy to get sunburned if you are skiing or snowboarding. The ice, the snow, whatever, is more reflective to sunlight. This is also why it's easier to get sunburned or tanned on a sandy beach than it would be on your front lawn. I feel like this is also a good time to insert a little fun fact that I've always really enjoyed, and that's how glaciers are formed. Glaciers form in places where snow piles up each year and then melts. Soon after it falls, the snow starts to compress and becomes dense and really tightly packed. And slowly, after many years, the snow changes from light, fluffy crystals into these hard, round pellets. They build up over themselves, new snow falls, buries this granular snow, and the cycle just continues. So glaciers are really just big old chunks of compacted snow. How do glaciers break apart? That's another one that gets a lot of attention online because it's kind of nuts to watch a video of a big chunk of ice falling into the ocean. This is called glacial calving, C-A-L-V-I-N-G. There's an L in there. Quick break to tell you about aspiration, the way that I am currently managing my money. I think that we need to talk more about banking in the environmental space or just money management in general in the environmental space because a lot of us have this false belief that our money is sitting in a bank somewhere. I hate to break it to you, but that's not what happens. Your money is not sitting in a shopping center. Your money is being invested. And a lot of the time, these big banks are investing in projects that you're not morally all for, such as fossil fuel projects, such as things that are contributing to the breaking up of Arctic sea ice like we're talking about on today's episode. I think it's really important that you think more deeply about where your money is being invested. And for that reason, I highly recommend Aspiration, who will never ever invest your money in fossil fuel projects. Another reason I really like Aspiration is because they have great partners with conscious brands online. I told y'all last week that they partner with the Girlfriend Collective, who I really like to shop from, and it just feels like my conscious consumption is paying me back because I get a little bit of a kickback. I know it is scary to switch from your well-known big bank, perhaps, that you're not on morally for, but you're just comfortable with them, to a new option. And I have to say, you don't have to do it all at once. A couple of my girlfriends heard my ad rolls the last couple of weeks. They opened accounts and they were so shocked at how easy it was. I'm telling you guys, you've been hearing me talk about it. It's so easy to open an account online with Aspiration. But more importantly, my friends were saying that they were just moving their money slowly. They were keeping a little bit of money there for their day-to-day debit card expenses because Aspiration is an environmentally conscious debit card. Use it when you are going to get a coffee, use it when you're going to the grocery store, use it to get your gas, whatever you're using day-to-day, smaller purchases, something that you are comfortable trying out. Put a little bit of money in your Aspiration account and make the transition slowly. You're going to see how easy it is, and you're going to see how much you enjoy this feeling that your money is not going towards projects that you're not all for. So why not try it out? Use my code aspiration.com/eco. They will even give you up to $200 when you open an account, again, with aspiration.com/eco. I could not recommend it more. I really think you should at least do a little bit of research, figure out where your money is, do some research on your big bank and see how gross they are, and you're gonna love Aspiration, the environmentally friendly debit card. There's always a link in the show notes. One more time, aspiration.com/eco. Now back to the show. Glacial calving happens to icebergs. Icebergs will warm, air will melt the snow, ice forms these little pools that we call melt ponds, and that trickles through the iceberg and any cracks that are there, because remember, we're just working with pellets at this point of crystallized snow, for lack of a better description. Then that warmer water will start to widen any cracks within the iceberg. At the same time, water is lapping on the sides of the iceberg because it's sitting in the Arctic Sea, because it's sitting in some freezing ocean. And both of those forces melting the ice will cause a sheet of that iceberg to break off. This typically happens in small-ish chunks, but the ones that you are seeing videos of online of big chunks of iceberg breaking off and falling into the ocean are really interesting to look at from a climate change perspective, because if it's a big chunk of ice sheet that's falling off, that means that the glacier is not all that deeply packed. There are more cracks within the glacier for this water, this glacial melt, to seep into and form wider and wider cracks. and then a big chunk of ice will fall off of the iceberg. I've been using the term glacier pretty strategically here, but we also just use the word iceberg. I want to make sure we're super clear on the difference between glaciers and icebergs. Glaciers are large sheets of ice. They can extend for miles and miles. Icebergs are smaller pieces of ice that have broken off or caved from glaciers, and they are now drifting within the ocean. The Titanic hit an iceberg. It did not hit a glacier. A glacier is a big old landmass. The iceberg is poking out of the water, and it is a giant chunk of ice that has broken off from that glacier. Now, this is going to be helpful information because I'm going to revisit something I said at the top of the episode. The Arctic is warming faster than Antarctica. That's because the Arctic is an ocean. It consists mostly just of sea ice, big glaciers. This is actually considered a desert. It is not a landmass, and that's why the Arctic is not considered a continent. Antarctica, on the other hand, is land covered in ice. Antarctica is a continent. Antarctica has lost a lot of sea ice, but again, there is land underneath, and scientists have seen that ice is growing in other places of Antarctica. This is a really good distinction to keep in mind, even just for your own personal knowledge of the difference between land masses and continents. I don't feel like we talk about that a whole lot outside of, you know, sixth grade geography class or whenever it is, but that actually won me a trivia point one time. What's the biggest desert on Earth? And the answer is Antarctica. And I think that's where I'm going to conclude our lesson for today, Climate Change 101 with Laura. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned a little something. Worst case, I hope you took something that you could contribute to a trivia team. Now that we are getting vaccinated, getting more comfortable going out, I am really looking forward to this summer with y'all on this show. Thank you so, so much for tuning in. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any more of these lessons or these great conversations we have coming up. I'm really looking forward to the next few months of Eco Chic, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts. And on the topic of today's episode, I know that I have alluded a couple of times to news, to headlines, to things on the internet, to tweets. If you ever see anything that you are concerned about or something that you'd like to know more about on the internet, I am always open to having those conversations with you, and I'm always open to making them podcast topics. I want to make sure, like I said, that these are episodes that can be resources to you, that they're valuable, that you're actually learning something and taking something away from them. So if you ever find something on the internet that you're like, oh God, Laura, I need more info, or I think other people would really benefit from knowing more about this, go ahead and send me an email. Go ahead and send me a DM. I love to talk to you. So I hope you have a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you very, very soon. Bye.